Then it is time to go inside the ropes.
For a quick look at a number of hot topics in the world of golf this week, let's go inside the ropes.
It is the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week here on the program, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Topic number one, there's always got to be a Tiger Woods topic, right? Whether he's playing or not, it's in our contract. We're contractually obligated to discuss Tiger Woods each and every week here on Golf Exchange. Tiger Woods talking to the media on Monday up in Washington, D.C. at Congressional Country Club, doing his promotional bit as host of the AT&T National. And the subject matter ran the gamut, Pat. He was talking about Charles Barkley's swing, about the new reality television show on the Golf Channel. He said, quote, Charles' swing, it's certainly interesting. It's like a speech impediment, end quote. He also talked about Michael Jordan's golf game. Obviously, MJ is one of three celebrities, along with Big Ben Roethlisberger and Justin Timberlake, playing in the Golf Digest U.S. Open Challenge later this summer at Bethpage. Regarding MJ, Tiger said, quote, much better than Charles. When I first played him in Chicago, his first round wasn't very good. He shot an 88. The very next day, in the next round, he shot 73. So obviously, I got suckered in. I learned my lesson. It all depends on where I put the wager on the number. That's what he's going to shoot, end quote. So Tiger is a ringer, it sounds like, or MJ. Jordan is a ringer. Tiger, while in D.C., also made a visit to the White House and Barack Obama. But really, the crux of the discussion later was about his golf game, and he elaborated on the state of his game. After the nine-month layoff, he had a greater effect on his ability to practice his long game. Everything was just a little off during the first three rounds of the Masters earlier this month, Tiger said. Woods' final round comeback wasn't enough. He, of course, finished in a tie for sixth at 9 under par. Tiger said, quote, I was just a fraction off. I didn't putt well until Sunday. Being a fraction off, I do mean just a fraction. How many times did I hit a shot that was just 1 yard off? And 1 yard means 30 to 40 feet at Augusta. It just takes the wrong side of the slope, and then you're putting from middle and edges of the greens. It just seemed to be happening all week. Hopefully, the next tournament I play, I'll be a little sharper, end quote. Well, that next tournament is next week in North Carolina at the Wachovia. Well, it's not the Wachovia anymore. Now it's the
Quail Hollow
Championship, because Wachovia, which now is owned by Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo wants to distance themselves from their sponsorship because, as we know, Washington, D.C., all the politicians are up in arms for all these different financial institutions sending money, sponsorship money, to the PGA Tour and other endeavors in the athletic world. Anyway, Tiger Woods back in action next week at the Quail Hollow Championship. What kind of Tiger do you think we see next week, considering he finished tied for six of the Masters last week?
Well, I think you'll see the same Tiger that we've seen for the last four or five tournaments. The guy that won at Bay Hill, who was relatively close at Augusta despite not having his game. And Tiger could say he was a fraction off, and obviously in his mind that is minuscule. But what I saw out of him was there were some issues with the swing there. But the thing about Tiger is he can rectify that very quickly. That's why you see these articles, Russ, that say that are so conscious of how he just finished playing, and then trying to equate that to he's either going to win all four majors this year or he's not going to be able to compete, depending on how he finishes. I think Tiger, just being who he is, We've seen him. He's literally won a golf tournament, the U.S. Open, on one leg. He wills the ball in the hole better than anybody ever. And I just think that if his game is relatively close, he's going to be competitive. And if it's on at all, he wins. So I don't think you're going to see anything different out of Tiger next week than you've had the last few weeks. If he's slightly off at Quail Hollow, he might not win. But if he is on at all, he can win, and if he's really on, he's going to win by 10 shots. So I don't think you're going to see anything. I think the knee's coming along fine. He's getting his stamina back. He's getting, his short game seems like it was on right off the bat, which was the biggest surprise to me. I thought that would be it's kind of an issue after the layoff, but I don't think you're going to see anything different out of him.
Okay, I will just add one thing. I think it was awesome that Anthony Kim, one of the young guys that is purported to be one of the new rivals for Tiger Woods, in a decade younger than Tiger Woods. Of course, Anthony Kim, 24 years of age, Tiger Woods, 33 years of age. I thought it was great that Anthony won Tiger's event last year. Kim is a defending champion. I think that will definitely motivate Tiger even more so than maybe like a guy like KJ Choi, who won the event 2 years ago.
All right, number two goes to you, Russ. Lanny Watkins was never one to waste any time on the golf course. He committed to a club, picked his target, and fired at the flag, a routine that carried him to 21 victories, a major at Pebble Beach, and a record-tying 8 U.S. Ryder Cup teams. A much slower process was his election to the World Golf Hall of Fame. After spending much of the decade watching other players get inducted with fewer PGA Tour victories, Watkins was elected on the PGA Tour ballot with 61% of the vote. My question to you is, thoughts on Lanny Watkins getting in and getting in after, according to this article, you know, other guys got in that might not have been as worthy of it. And then the other thing is Jose Maria Olazabal got in also. What are your thoughts on both those?
Well, that's a good question, Pat, because we do have two inductees for the class of 2009 World Golf Hall of Fame going in November 2nd in World Golf Village in St. Augustine, Florida. The PGA Tour player, the American player, is Lanny Watkins, 21 career PGA Tour victories, one major championship, PGA championship. And then we've also got, of course, Jose Maria Olazabal. Now, Jose Maria is the European Tour player, the international player, 23 career international victories, 2 major championships, 2 Masters championships. Excuse me. He also had 4 wins on the PGA Tour and a sterling Ryder Cup record. We talk about Lanny Watkins' Ryder Cup record, an 8-time U.S. Ryder Cup team member. Olazabal was on 7 European Ryder Cup teams, 18-8-5 career Ryder Cup record for Olazabal in 7 appearances. It's just phenomenal. I just think Jose Maria is just a little bit better player and has a little bit better resume than Lanny Watkins. And taking nothing away from Lanny Watkins, he's a world-class player, but I think it's telling that he got in on 61% of the vote. The PGA Tour ballot requires 65% of the vote from Hall of Famers, media, and golf executives. Watkins got in under the provision that if no one receives the minimum amount, 65%, the player with the highest percentage, provided that's over 50%, gets elected. And I think he gets in on a technicality. He didn't have the amount that is usually required, and I think that's because his resume is not that. I mean, I'm not trying to diss the guy. I'm not trying to tear down the guy. I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame. He will be going in November. But to me, I just don't think he's Hall of Famer. 21 career victories and just one major. Now, Olazabal has 23 career international victories, 4 more PGA Tour. So 27 career victories and 2 majors. To me, that is more deserving of the Hall of Fame. So I think, in my opinion, I think Olazabal is more deserving than Watkins. It doesn't matter what I think. They're both going in. Now, the players that the article was referring to with fewer PGA Tour victories, well, they're all guys that have more majors. To me, when you're talking about Hall of Fame, it starts with the majors. Larry Nelson, only 10 career PGA Tour victories, but 3 of those were majors. 3 career majors for Larry Nelson. Curtis Strange, another one of those guys, only 17 career PGA Tour victories, but 2 majors, and they were back-to-back U.S. Opens. Last guy to win back-to-back U.S. Opens was Curtis Strange. Ben Crenshaw, the other guy, along with Hubert Green. Ben Crenshaw and Hubert Green, both 19 career PGA Tour wins, which is 2 less than Watkins, 21. But the more important thing, as far as I'm concerned, the major totals, Crenshaw and Hubert Green, both with 2 major championships. To me, if Lanny Watkins is a Hall of Famer, then Davis Love and Freddie Couples are also Hall of Famers, and I don't really think any of those guys are Hall of Famers, because you're talking about, okay, 1 major and about 20 career wins.
Real quick, Russ, I agree with you. I don't disagree as much with anything you said. I disagree with the process here. This is like, let's elect somebody to just... elect somebody. The criteria should be very clear. You need to get X percentage of the vote. I used to love the way the LPGA used to do it. You had to have so many majors, so many victories to get in, and that was it. It was the hardest Hall of Fame to get in, and then they changed it, made it easier to get in. I just don't agree with this. If your provision is you got to get 65% of the vote, then that's what you got to get. Not that if no one gets that, then it's the highest dude above 50 will give it to. It just sounds. it sounds like there really isn't that hard line of a provision. It's just like we want to elect somebody
right.
to get the notoriety or the publicity or whatever we can promote that we're going to put X person in the Hall of Fame this year.
Yeah, it's the Hall of Fame. It's not the Hall of Very Good.
Exactly. And it's just the criteria should be stuck to. If that's one thing I do respect about baseball. If no one reaches that percentage, then they just don't elect anybody that year. It doesn't happen often, but it has happened. And I think the golf, you know, it doesn't need to go this route that they feel like, oh, we've got to keep the publicity going, so we have to elect somebody every year. I don't have a real problem with Lanny being in there, and I don't have a problem with Jose Maria being in there. I think they both have done enough. But like you said, it can be debated, and there should be clearer demarcation lines before either anybody gets in than what they have right now.
Okay. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic. It's our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment. We do it each and every week here on the program, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Topic number three, Phil Mickelson, lefty. As we know, he's always been a big fan of baseball. You'll remember his tryout for the minor league Toledo Mudhens in 2003. I remember that. Toledo Mudhens. Mickelson had a tryout with them in 2003 as a pitcher, and I remember distinctly him throwing right-handed. That's the first time that I learned that Mickelson was actually a natural righty. He writes and throws right-handed, but he swings a golf club left-handed. Anyway, Phil Mickelson was recently approached about joining a new ownership group with the San Diego Padres. However, lefty passed on it. Quote, I took a look at it and thought it could be a great deal for someone, he told the San Diego Union-Tribune, but at this point I'm not just interested in buying part of any sports franchise. End quote. Pat, your thoughts about Mickelson being approached to be an owner of a sports franchise, and perhaps if it's not Phil, who do you think maybe amongst the PGA Tour pros could be a possible candidate to someday own a sports team?
Well, the obvious guy would be Tiger, and I don't know what his interest level is in owning a sports team or being part of an ownership. I think the funny thing, though, Russ, is that he turned it down. A lot of these things are ego trips for these guys. They want to have their seat in a box. They want to be able to go on the field. They want to be able to go in the locker room, whatever it is. And to turn that down, I think, speaks more not of Mickelson's cheapness factor or whatever, but the fact that as an owner, even a part owner, you're still responsible for liabilities and things like that of the company. So if the Padres aren't, per se, making a ton of money, then you look to the ownership to help out with that if it ain't happening. So I don't know. Maybe he looked into the performance of the San Diego Padres or their bottom line and saw that maybe they're not doing that well or whatever. I don't know. And from an absolute business perspective, just said, you know what, I don't really want to be part of something where I might actually have to, you know, give money to this thing or to keep it going or whatever. I don't know if that factored into it at all, but there are other things involved than just being in the box or being on the field as a part owner of a team. And maybe that's what Phil saw, and that's why he didn't want to be associated with it at this point.
Well, I'll tell you what, in my opinion, I give a lot of credit to Phil Mickelson because he's always been the one guy to do a lot of goofy stuff. I mean, we saw it, you know, 6 years ago when he tried out for a AAA baseball team. And it's just like, what are you doing? You're a golfer. You're in the prime of your career. And he still is. He's 39 years of age. He's still got another 5, 6, 7 quality years. And I just don't think it's right for him right now. I think eventually Phil will probably own a sports franchise. You know, we've heard about how big of a sports fan he is. He's a huge sports fan. He's notorious for gambling on the Super Bowl, and he's won a lot of money in years past on the Super Bowl. I believe he won a bunch of money on the Patriots the first year that they won it when they were a huge underdog. And I think eventually Phil will probably own a sports franchise. I think Tiger perhaps will as well. Listen, Tiger Woods is going to be the first ever athlete to earn $1 billion in his career. And that will, if he earns enough this year, he needs about, I think the number is $110 million in earnings. If he earns another $110 million, he goes over the $1 billion mark in career earnings. So there's no doubt that Tiger financially is fit to own a sports franchise. So perhaps we'll see both of these guys someday, but not right now. Phil's only 39. He needs to concentrate on golf, and kudos to him for turning this down.
All right, Russ, number four goes to you. Nick Price, the winner of the last British Open held at Turnberry in 1994, is yet to enter the championship, which returns to Ayrshire, Scotland, in July. An absentee from the oldest major since 2005, the Hope Sound resident has indicated he would rather his spot went to a young golfer capable of embracing a career-altering moment as he himself did in finishing second behind Tom Watson at Royal Troon in 1982. According to the Royal and Ancient, Price has not yet submitted an entry form. Your thoughts on Nick Price not playing this year in the British Open?
Well, first of all, take a look at what he did last week. He broke through in his first career victory on the Champions Tour after 39 tries. He won last week's Outback Steakhouse Pro-Am in Tampa. So Bill Murray hitting women in their front yard, not the only guy making headlines.
Don't get me going again, Russ, on the electroshock therapy.
Not the only guy making headlines last week on the Champions Tour in Tampa. Nick Price breaking through. So he just won last week. His game is obviously sharp. And didn't he see a 53-year-old Greg Norman finish third just 1 year ago at Birkdale? I mean, this is, to me, is Nick Price throwing in the towel saying he has no chance. He's only 52 years of age. It's not like the guy's 62. This is odd to me. Now, he does deserve some credit for being somewhat, it seems kind of noble to me, that if he doesn't think he can win, he wants to give his opportunity to somebody else. But my point is, why does he think he can't win? He's only 52. Greg Norman, just a year ago at 53, finished third in the British Open. And here's a guy who just last week won on the Champions Tour. I don't get it.
Well, I agree with you on a couple things, Russ. I know we just had a 48-year-old Kenny Perry almost win the Masters. But I really think if any older guy, a guy 50 and over, is going to win a major, it's going to be the British Open, just because the courses are generally smaller. They're, it's a different type of golf that older guys, I think, can still compete on those layouts. Nick Price, I completely agree with you. His game's good. He's in good shape. Good mental shape. I think his short game is still decent enough that he can compete. So it is kind of surprising to me that he is turning this down. Maybe he just doesn't want to go through the travel or the prep involved in really working on his game, honing it for the British Open. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I know he's got kids and maybe something's going on from that perspective. And, he's done it so many times, maybe he just doesn't feel like going over there at this juncture and really does want to concentrate on the Champions Tour. But all that said, if he is really giving it up to give some younger guy a chance, that's noble, and I commend him for it. But at the same time, I agree with you. I think Nick's still got game good enough, especially after Greg Norman did it last year. And Norman took much more time off. Nick's been playing. That Nick should be able to do it.
All right. Even though we agreed way too much during that segment of the PGA
National.
You're
going to say it's award-winning.
Exactly. PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment, another award-winning edition. We do it each and every week here discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you, as always, by PGA National Resort and Spa.